The word from St. Matthew chapter 28, these words. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let us pray. Lord, may we see you in your word, in this mystery of your body and blood in the sacrament this day. May we see you present in your people, in your church. May we see you as your disciples saw you, as Mary saw you. Lord, may we see you this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Video, please. We have the good news, right? We're here today to celebrate the truth of the victory won for us on Calvary. If you were here on Good Friday, I mentioned the fact that Good Friday is the victory, right? Jesus' death for our sins is the victory. For us, Resurrection Sunday is the victory lap. How many of you have ever watched a race where it has been hard fought right till the end? Where everybody has just been giving it all to get to the end of the race. And you just see the person running and getting through the finish line. And you think they've given it all. There's nothing left. They have finished the race. They have won the prize. And yet, it always amazes me that they have enough energy and enough enthusiasm to take their flag and run the whole lap again. Ever notice that? I remember last Olympics, I watched someone who finished and won the gold medal, and as he was taking his flag, he even tried to go up to his fans who were watching him, and he tried to climb the wall. And if you would have seen the race, you would have wondered, where did he get that energy from? Well, that is entheos, God in us, our enthusiasm for what we have received in the victory that Christ won for us on the cross, and the proof of that victory in the empty tomb. That's why we're here this morning. That's the good news that you saw in the video, the good news of the gospel. Everything that has happened to this point has brought us here so that we can share in that victory lap. And we didn't have to even run the race. The race was won for us. We get to celebrate in the victory lap. And the victory lap's a lot nicer, a lot more joyful than the race itself. The race itself is hard, as many of us who are running the race have experienced, right? But the victory lap is a great time of joy. I'd like to draw your attention back to the gospel lesson today. I'd like to ask you to imagine for a moment what it must have been like for these women who were there at the cross when Jesus was taken down, were there at the tomb when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus put Jesus into the garden tomb, who had waited for what must have seemed a great deal of time, even though in technical terms, they put Jesus in the tomb before 6 o'clock on the Sabbath, which means that they put him in the tomb before 6 o'clock on Thursday, one day. Then he was in the tomb all day from 6 o'clock on Thursday to 6 o'clock on Friday. It's one, right? And then he's in there from 6 o'clock. So Thursday's one day, Friday. And then he's in the tomb again from Friday at 6 o'clock to Saturday at 6 o'clock. That's 3 days. The reason I'm saying this on Facebook, somebody said, Christians don't know what they're talking about. He was in that it should only be 2 days. And I'm like, nope. Wrong. Because we think of our time starting at midnight and going till the next midnight, right? But we're talking about Jewish days, right? 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the evening. So he's there for 3 days. And so they go out early in the morning. On the Lord's Day, it's after the Sabbath. They wouldn't have gone on the Sabbath. Then it's dark. So they go out early in the morning at first dawn. And just think about what they're feeling inside. They're feeling grief, right? They're feeling fear. They don't know what to expect when they get there. They know there's guards there. They are wondering who's going to move this stone. The stone that is put in the grave, it's much easier to roll in than it is to roll out. If you ever seen a picture of the grave, we have the empty grave here, but if you were to see it in the picture, the stone is actually rolled in, there's a groove, and it's rolled in, But as you know, rolling things downhill is a lot easier than rolling things, what? Uphill. And so the stone is rolled in place, and so they're wondering, who's going to roll the stone away? And have you ever wondered if God really knows that we have multiple concerns at once? Ever wondered how God kind of figures this out? It's a good thing he knows our hearts, right? Because they had multiple concerns. What is it going to be like? What are the soldiers or the guards going to be like? Who's going to remove that stone? And when they get there, what takes place? In Matthew 28, it says, as they're going to the tomb, there is an earthquake, and it takes care of the stone, right? Then the angel appears, and what happens to the guards? Yeah, they look like, I love the way Matthew puts it, dead men. They thought it was a bear. You ever heard that? You never heard this? When you're in the mountains, they tell you, don't try to outrun the bear. They try to outrun your friend. Hey, you took the same course as I did. No. Try to outrun your friend. Yeah. Play dead. The reality is, God took care of their concerns. They get there, the guards are taken care of, and Jesus isn't there. But instead of having to wonder what happened, there's an angel there, right? And how does the angel introduce himself to them, to the ladies? What does he say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What did you say? That's terrifying. Oh, okay. Well, you probably have something there because he tells them not to be afraid. He tells them that he knows that they're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is risen, right? He's not here. And he tells them to run and tell the brothers, tell the disciples. And so the Bible says they departed quickly with fear. So they're just like Angela, right? With fear and what? Great joy. Have you ever had fear and great joy at the same time? Yeah? Your wedding day? Fear and great joy? Okay. That's probably true. Anybody else have fear and great joy at the same time? Isn't it a trip? Isn't it something to have fear and great joy? Does it make your heart pound? Yeah? Does it make you feel alive? Yeah? Well, they ran quickly, it says. They ran with fear and great joy. Now, what I find interesting is they were doing what they were told. And I think if an angel appeared to me and told and took care of the things that were the obstacles in my life, for example, in this case, the stone and the soldiers, and had basically laid the truth out for me, that I would be wise enough to listen and to do what I was told. They seem to be doing what they were told. But it's interesting because Jesus appears to them as they are doing what they were told to do by the angel. And what does he say to them? What did he say? Don't be afraid. I think there's a theme here. Don't be afraid. They're running, they're doing what they're told, but they are filled with fear and great joy. And so what does Jesus come to deal with? The fear. He comes to deal with the fear. And the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many times do you think don't be afraid appears in the Bible? Lots of times. Well, lots of times, but you know, it's interesting because how many days in the year do you think we need to hear this message? Don't be afraid. 365 days a year. And guess how many times the words do not be afraid appear in Holy Scripture? 365. You tell me, is our God great or what? Because what does he know we're going to continue to have difficulty with? Fear. Even when we're forgiven, even when we're set free, even when we have evidence. I sent out a Facebook post about the evidence of the resurrection. There's a great movie come out, The Case for Christ, Evidence of the Resurrection. I mean, it's all around us, but you know what? Evidence does not give us confidence necessarily. It helps us to experience the truth that Jesus is alive. But it's an experience. It's something that we have to believe. It's something that God invites us to believe with every part of our being, because unless we experience it, unless we believe it, it's just conjecture. It's just our ideas. It's just our intellect. But what he wants is our hearts. And where does fear usually come from? Our hearts. Some of you are saying, well, no, it comes from my brain. Well, maybe you're better. Maybe you're thinking about all the things that could go wrong. But usually fear is an emotion, right? It's a response. And so he invites us not to fear, but to go and tell. To tell the good news of the gospel. That just, I thought that was a great way of succinctly sharing the gospel there. That I showed the video there, because I thought it was a really good way of explaining it. But we have that good news. And the good news is news of great joy. News of great joy. And so I pray that we would not fear, but we would be as bold as Mary, who when she saw this, when she did what she was told, she went back to the apostles. It actually sounds kind of funny, because one of the gospel writers puts it this way. It sounded to them like nonsense. And yet she said it with conviction, without fear. She said, I have seen the Lord. It's up on that. I have seen the Lord. Brothers and sisters, may we run with confidence. May we not fear, but may we be bold to let people know that we have seen the Lord, because the Lord is alive. He's active and he's moving. He's working in his word and sacrament. He's working in his people. He's alive and well. He's still doing miracles today. He's still healing people. He's still doing amazing things that are unexplainable. People say it's coincidence. Well, that's God being anonymous. It's not something that just happens. It's God at work. He's working. He's alive. May we be so bold as not to fear, but to go and tell. That's the words that Jesus told them, right? He said, go and tell my disciples. Go and tell the brothers that they will see me in Galilee. Well, we should go and tell people we see the Lord, because he's here. He's present. He's active. He's working. And he's still doing what he promised. He's saving us. He's giving us eternal life, and he's giving us his power to live as his people. Isn't that awesome? That's why we celebrate. In closing, I just want to share, if you are struggling with it, if you're like, well, you know. I don't believe the evidence. I'm not really sure. I don't see Jesus. I think that these things are just coincidence or just flukes, just luck. That's why I don't believe in luck, because I'm not that lucky. If you believe that, well, there's not much I can do, because it's the Holy Spirit that produces faith. But what I would encourage you to do is to trust that God is at work. He is doing things, and to just be open to what he's doing in your life. Because the Lord is active, right? The Lord is active. I like Martin Luther, kind of have to as a Lutheran pastor, I guess, maybe. I like reading his stuff. And I read a little quote the other day, which I thought was really cool, is he was having a lot of trouble in the church. Hard to imagine a church having trouble, but we are filled with human beings, and human beings are sinners, and human beings, when they get together, things happen, right? Even in the church, even in Christ's body, it just the way it is. Having trouble, and he's feeling very depressed, I would say. The word that they use is melancholy. How many of you run around saying, hey, I'm melancholy? You don't use that word much anymore, right? Yeah. He said he was melancholy, and so he's kind of pouting and depressed and sitting there. And so his wife, Katie, who's kind of got a good way of bringing things to the fore and explaining things in very succinct ways, decided to put her grieving gown on. See, in those days, you had a grieving gown, which is what you wore if someone died and you had a viewing or whatever, you would wear the grieving gown. It was very, I'm told it wasn't very comfortable. So she put her grieving gown on, And she walks in where Martin Luther is, and he looks up at her and he says, "Who died?" And she says, "God." Well, if you have read any Martin Luther, you would understand that he did not take that well. Matter of fact, he got a little bit indignant, and he said, "No, God's not dead. He's alive." And she turned to him immediately and said, "Then why are you acting like it?" You gotta love wives. They can say things in short sentences that really cut to the heart, can't they? And all the guys are going, "Yep." Why do we act like he's dead when he's alive? Why do we act like he can't intervene in our lives, and he can't change things, and he can't do things when he's alive and well and at work? Why do we act like he's still dead when he's alive? Brothers and sisters, he's alive. May we be bold to confess, as did Mary, "I have seen the Lord." He's alive. He's alive. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us ample opportunity to see the good news of your salvation in our lives each and every day. We thank you, Lord, that you wrote, "Do not be afraid," 365 days in your word, so that we would not miss it any day of the year. Lord, we thank you that you want us to have no fear because you have our backs. You are in control. You know our circumstances. You know our fears. You know our anxieties. You know our needs. And you are faithful to fill our needs. Lord, help us. We know that no amount of evidence will convince people who don't want to be convinced. But Lord, we pray that your love and your joy and your great joy would so permeate us, your children, that we would be bold to let people know that we see you. We see you alive and well in your word and sacraments. We see you alive and well in your people. We see you alive and well in your church around the world. We see you alive and well when people are healed, when lives are changed, when marriages are saved. Lord, we see you alive and well in new birth. We see you alive and well in so many ways. Lord, help us to be bold to confess as Mary, "I have seen the Lord. He is alive." You are not dead, O Lord. You are alive and well. May we confess this boldly each and every day. Amen.